From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning in our opening hour, a new poll by State Farm Insurance finds that nearly one in four drivers accesses the web while driving. The four-year survey also shows an increase in older drivers who own smartphones and reveals that adults and seniors, not just teens, are texting while driving. We'll discuss the findings as well as ideas to encourage safer driving. Join us for the hour after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. A four-year State Farm survey reveals that surfing while driving, surfing the internet that is on the rise, and the new poll also concludes that texting while driving, once more prevalent among younger drivers, has spread to older drivers as well, and despite the dangers, one of four drivers are now accessing the web while driving. We take up the significance of this new study in this morning's opening Forum Hour, and we want to focus, too, on what kinds of action can be taken to address what really is a growing problem and, in fact, what many are calling an epidemic. Joining us in this hour is David Strayer, who is a professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Utah. He leads a distracted driving lab there, and we welcome you, Professor Strayer, to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also say good morning to Chris Mullen, who is Director of Technology Research with State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company and the lead researcher on the Distracted Driving Survey. Welcome, Chris Mullen. Good to have you.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, David.
And we'll also say good morning to Daniel Hill, who is Public Information Officer with the California Highway Patrol, who joins us here in studio.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Chris Mullen, let me begin with you, and let's just outline for our listeners what really resulted from this study. First of all, there are about 1,000 people, I guess, who were queried, and tell us a bit about the method that you used.
So this was our fifth annual study on the topic where we surveyed 1,000 consumers age 18 and older to understand a little bit more about what they're saying they're doing in the vehicle as it pertains to some of these technologies. And what we're finding relevant to your opening comments is text messaging is staying from a statistical standpoint pretty flat, but where we see the rise is on reading email on the cell phone, reading social media on the cell phone. So these other functions beyond texting are starting to increase.
Well, nearly a half of drivers, as I understand it from this survey of yours, between the ages of 18 and 29 actually admitted to surfing the web while driving, and that's pretty serious. I mean, we're talking about distracted driving, really.
That's right. That's right. And these are functions that are available now on these devices that weren't available in abundance 5 years ago. So when we started doing this survey, we were asking about cell phone use, and we were asking about talking on a handheld, talking on a hands-free, and texting as the issue. What we're starting to see is this emergence of a prevalence in using other functions, using email, referencing things from the internet, responding to email, social media, and we saw the significant increases over those 3 years specifically on reading email and reading social media. So those taking your eyes off the road is going to be where your danger is.
Not just a youth problem, though. Increase in 40 and older use of smartphones as well, right?
Right, and that was a particularly interesting finding this year is for the last 3 years we've been able to ask about smartphone ownership because, as you know, certain functions on a cell phone are pretty limited, but when you get to a smartphone, you've got a mobile computer. And so for the last 3 years we've asked for this percentage that owns smartphones, and what we saw is a significant increase for the age groups 40 to 49, 50 to 64, and 65 plus. In the case of 40-year-olds, from 2011 to 2013, the smartphone ownership doubled.
We're talking to Chris Mullen, who led the survey for State Farm on driving and the distractions in driving. In fact, use of hand-free cell phones, it turns out, have increased, while handheld call cell phones, which are used for texting often, have become, as you said, kind of stagnant.
Well, talking on them, yes, and for texting as well, that statistically speaking, it's pretty flat. But talking on a hands-free cell phone is trending upward, and then those other functions, unfortunately, also are.
So the bottom line here is the number of drivers, according to study, increasing use of the internet while driving has nearly doubled over the past 5 years.
The amount of drivers that owned a smartphone for those higher age groups is going up statistically significantly. And what that's doing is giving people the opportunity then to access these other functions beyond talking and texting.
And let me bring David Strayer into this conversation. He's a professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Utah and leads a distracted driving lab there. And it's been actually you've been doing some of the study and research, Professor Strayer, even before we started getting into cell phones. But what do you use, first of all, what do you use to measure?
Well, how do we study driver distraction?
Yeah.
Well, we use a number of different methods, but we have instrumented vehicles where we equip the car with a lot of sensors and have people drive down the roads and measure what happens when they interact with this kind of technology that we just heard about. We also have driving simulators and all kinds of ways of measuring brain activity. So we can really understand a lot about how the driver drives, their behavior, and what happens as a consequence of some of the actions they do if they try and send an email or talk on the phone or other kinds of things that they can use with their smart devices.
Well, there was a poll that showed that almost three-quarters of drivers agree with laws banning texting, but you've got a likelihood of 23 times a crash risk while texting, which, you know, speaks volumes about the fact that despite what drivers may feel, and the numbers that we've been putting out here are pretty staggering. Also, didn't your test show that some of these people have problems with impulse, maybe the least likely to be doing this sort of thing are the ones who are doing it?
Yeah, I mean, one of the questions we had was what kind of gets people to start engaging in some of these activities, and the people who were least capable of multitasking tended to be drawn to it the most, tended to be a bit more impulsive and sensation-seeking. So it's a technology that is attractive. It's designed to be that way. I mean, the worry is with the exposure that you're seeing, the increased number of people who are using it, and the risk that we know is associated with some of these techniques, it's just a bad recipe for when you're concerned with safety on the highways.
Yeah, and I just want to add another statistic that came out of your research. Again, four times the likelihood of an accident while talking on a cell phone, and that is, in effect, the same as if you'd be intoxicated with the legal limit. But let me just go to sort of the heart of this with you, and that is, I mean, here in California, for example, voice texting is allowed. That's not necessarily any safer, is it?
Well, it may be safer than manually texting. So if you're basically taking your hands off the steering wheel and your eyes off the road to send a text, that clearly is unsafe. But don't think that just because you're using voice techniques, it's safe. It doesn't seem to. It actually is also associated with a significant increase in overall driver impairment. So when we've studied voice texting, the kind of stuff that's been considered in California, we find that that's actually considerably more distracting and more impairing than, say, the old talking on a cell phone. So if you look at kind of the risks that we see with talking on either a handheld or hands-free cell phone, voice texting is even significantly more impairing than that. Still, if you're taking your eyes off the road to try and actually really send or receive a text message, you know, that's actually the worst possible thing you could really be doing, is just completely taking your eyes off the road.
Well, and I understand there's not much difference between handheld and hand-free phones while driving.
I mean, that's what our research shows, is that there really is precious little, if no difference between the impairments. I mean, in both cases, your mind is occupied by whatever you're talking about, and whether or not you have one hand holding the phone or you have some kind of Bluetooth, the mental activities associated with that conversation are the same. So in I don't really know of any studies, and certainly none of the studies that we have done, show that there is some kind of a safety advantage for hands-free cell phones. Despite the trends that State Farm noticed that people are kind of switching to those devices, they don't necessarily confer any safety.
But you can have cognitive distraction just by listening to the radio, or, you know, you see people eating all the time, doing all these sorts of things. But what we're talking about here vis-a-vis surfing the web and doing email is really far more distracting, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there are things that have been in the car since the 30s that are potential distractions. When we tried to benchmark them, things like listening to the radio or listening to audiobook or talking to passengers just doesn't seem to have the kind of impairment that you see with some of these other more sophisticated technologies. Talking on a cell phone is, for the most part, different from talking to a passenger and clearly different from listening to the radio, which really doesn't seem to impair the driver at all. You put look at some of these other activities that are supported by the smartphones to send email, review emails, send text messages, do voice texting, make movie reservations, the kinds of things that are supported in most cars now with that are paired with a Bluetooth. And all of a sudden you see really significant increase in driver distraction.
What about car voice commands? I mean, you have these voice recognition systems now with car voice commands. They're pretty dangerous too, aren't they?
It depends. What we've actually found is that if they're relatively simple and short, like, change radio station or increase the HVAC in the car, those tend to be relatively short and relatively infrequent. And so we don't really find a real big increase in mental demand, probably just because you're not doing it very often and it's very simple commands you're doing. But once you try and send a text or make a movie reservation or read an email, or have an email read to you, even with pure voice-based technologies, you're actually requiring the brain to do something that's much more complicated, and it diverts attention from the task of driving.
David Strayer, again, is professor of psychology at University of Utah, and he leads a distracted driving lab there. And Daniel Hill is public information officer of the California Highway Patrol. He's here with us in studio. How much distracted driving is out there? Have you seen an increase, just say, in the last year or two?
Well, distracted driving has been around since we have been able to add things to our vehicles. Obviously, we've had simple distractions such as radio. People have added things like television. We're seeing added electronic devices. Most recently in the news was the Google Glass and other electronic viewing devices. We're talking about a lot of things going on that interfere with the primary mission of driving. The driver's main responsibility behind the wheel is to drive, and adding things into that then detracts from that mission. You were talking a bit about cognitive distraction. We define them as three different kinds of distraction. You have your visual, your cognitive, and your manual distraction. When you're doing something like texting and driving, you're taking part in all three of those because you're cognitively distracted by your conversation via the text, you're manually distracted because your hand or hands are off the wheel, and you're visually distracted because you're looking down. With all three of those, that's recipe for a disaster.
There was a Governor's Highway Safety Association that said, go after the drivers, not the technology. And I was struck by that because, and in fact, they even said, you should think of this like you're flying a plane. You know, you go out in a plane, you don't necessarily spend time surfing the web or texting. And the time you spend in going from one place to another in an automobile ought to be like, you know, you're piloting a plane or something along those lines. But the technology companies are making it easier and easier to access these kinds of things. I mean, where's their responsibility in this?
Well, it all comes down to the person using the device. We put out all these devices with the knowledge that there are safe modes of use. For example, radio. You're not going to change the radio while you're driving and doing lane changes, but when you're going in a straightaway, it might be safe to do so. Similarly to this, you can see across the nation, 12 states have banned handheld cell phone use, but 41 states have banned text messaging. Obviously, there is a difference in it. What we're trying to do is educate the people that are behind the wheel that, yes, we have access to all of these things, but there is an appropriate time and place to use them. And really, the core issue of the matter is, why are people choosing to take their mind off the road? It's most likely because they don't realize that that's actually more complex than they realize.
And education and certainly regulation are key to this, but also enforcement. I mean, how strong has the enforcement been from your perspective, especially with all kinds of revenue for Highway Patrol being, shall we say, lopped off?
Well, with the Highway Patrol, the revenue that we generate is not necessarily tied to the citations we write. The citations the Highway Patrol issues usually is more for the safety aspect.
No, I know there's a common myth that, you know, you guys have quotas and numbers and you're getting,
absolutely,
you know, revenue on that basis. But what my concern here is, are there enough officers out there really to be doing the job here? Because these numbers are just continuing to go up.
Well, that's true. And a common thing that we see, that we hear about, is how come I see so many text messages and so many cell phones on the road while I'm driving? Well, the key factor is that when I'm in my personal car driving to and from work, I make the same observation. The number that I see in use exponentially grows. But as I get into a patrol car, that black and white, a lot of people are able to see that coming, and they drop their cell phone before we're able to see. There's really the only method of detection that we have at this point is to see that the person is either driving erratically or to visually see that they are using their cell phone in an improper manner. So, unfortunately for us, our enforcement is hampered by the fact that many people are keeping their eyes open for the Highway Patrol, for the black and white. That being said, all officers that I know are heavily enforcing this because we realize that, like you mentioned earlier, distracted driving can be and sometimes is worse than drunk driving. You're seeing the same characteristics, the same kind of crashes that come into play because people are distracted and they're not focusing on their primary mission.
Let me ask you what you would say, I mean, from your experience and from the experience of your colleagues about people who say, because there are people, I'm sure you know, who say, I can hold my liquor and I don't get distracted with alcohol. I can go above the legal limit and I'm okay with it. You know, I'm one of those guys or women who can really hold my stuff. And they may be fooling themselves and deluding themselves. But there are also people who say, you know, I'm a super tasker. I don't have the same risks of being distracted as other people. And maybe a real warning flare ought to go out to these people because they take it for granted that maybe they're better at this sort of thing.
Regardless of who you are and what kind of skills you think you'd have, for example, the average time to send a text message is around 4 seconds. At 60 miles an hour, when you look down for those 4 seconds or even a fraction of that, you're traveling the length of a football field blind. You're not seeing anything that's going on around you. The issue with driving is that it's not a static situation. If there was no one on the road, no chance for hazards, yes, that would be an acceptable choice to make because there's nothing that can change in your driving. But unfortunately, there are other vehicles on the road. There are other hazards that pop up, animals, debris, changing conditions and weather. All of these things are factors that you have to consider when you're driving. And subconsciously, you do. But as you get distracted, your mind is taken away from those things and you're only able to do one or two of those things well, which ends up leading you to a collision oftentimes.
Again, Daniel Hill, Public Information Officer with the CHP. And you can join this program, and let me tell you how you can do that. I know there are many of you who have some strong feelings about this or thoughts about it or experiences perhaps you'd like the public to know about. This has all been generated by a new poll by State Farm Insurance, which finds that nearly 1 in 4 drivers accesses the web while driving. And the 4-year survey also shows an increase in older drivers who own smartphones, and that adults and seniors, not just teens, are texting while driving. We're talking about the findings, and certainly we welcome any ideas some of you have to prevent the kind of disasters and crashes and terrible carnage that's out there on the roads as a result of all this. You can join us at our toll-free number, and we welcome your calls, whether you're listening to us on radio, internet, or a Sirius satellite. It's a toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Again, that's toll-free free. 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any of your questions or comments right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. Or, of course, you can tweet us, and our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Before I go to your calls and emails, I wanted to have a human face to this. Rob Reynolds is Executive Director of Focus Driven, Advocates for Cell-Free Driving, that supports victims and families of cell phone-distracted drivers. And cell phone distracted driving. His daughter was actually killed by a distracted driver in 2007. Rob Reynolds, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
What is it you want people to know about this from the terrible tragedy you went through?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things, and there's been a lot said already on your program, but we really need to take this issue as seriously as we do other issues. It is killing people. It is hurting people. And you can justify any behavior behind the wheel, but the bottom line is that you have to ask yourself, are these things adding safety to the driver? And obviously, they're not. It's an entertainment or a compulsion to multitask, but we don't compensate for that distraction by increasing safety in cars, like having something that would give you crash avoidance or something like that, as the officer just mentioned. But I speak for all who have lost somebody, including my daughter. No call, no text, nothing you can do with a cell phone or a linked device is going to be worth the life that you're going to take. And certainly in my case, I feel that with my daughter every day.
And I'm so sorry for your loss. It's been quite an arduous journey for you trying to promote better cell phone policies, not only within states but at the federal level. Talk about that if you could.
Well, it has, you know, and there's a lot of head shaking. There's a lot of nodding when people listen to me talk. They hear my story, and then I talk about the facts. And the facts have been out for so long. We've been talking about this. This is a conversation we've had, even at the national level. Ray LaHood was very good about talking to the issue of distracted driving, but it really hasn't gotten into policy. And when we talk about an issue that is life or death, it should turn into policy immediately. And we've been through this before with similar issues like drinking and driving. We have a national risk tolerance for drinking and driving. It's 0.08. 0.08 is four times the risk. Talking on a cell phone is four times the risk. But the difference is you're either temporarily disabled or you're permanently when you're drunk. So we have a risk tolerance that's at a national level, but we haven't taken a national approach to what we should do.
What do you envision? I mean, in terms of specific policies.
Well, there's several. I mean, there's the new driver approach, which would ban all electronics use for new drivers. That should be in every state. That would help the teen crash rate, which is much higher than the older population rate. However, we have raised generations of young people who are now young adults. They're people in their 20s and 30s and even 40s who don't know a world without cell phones. And those people as well need to have an incentive to stop using behind the wheel. So we should have across the board. Texting and driving is probably one of the worst things you can do while you're driving a car. That should be a policy everywhere. It has been proven that when you enforce it, it is effective, and we can apply that everywhere.
Rob Reynolds, I thank you for joining us. Appreciate very much your being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And again, Rob Reynolds, Executive Director of Focus Driven Advocates for Cell-Free Driving, supporting victims and families of cell phone distracted driving. And again, his daughter was killed in 2007 by a distracted driver. We asked you, our listeners, to tell us on Facebook, what do you think needs to be done to curb driver cell phone use? And let me just give you some of the responses. Tom writes, I drive a commercial truck most of the day, which allows me to see down into most passenger vehicles. The incidence of phone use is astonishing and more than a little bit frightening. I think the only thing that will deter this trend is a period of heavy enforcement, steep fines, and insurance penalties. Nathan says, figure out a way to trigger the car's caution lights when the phone is in use. This makes people self-conscious and lets drivers know who's in a dangerous state. Wendy writes, cops in unmarked cars by stop signs, lots of them, big tickets. Word will hopefully travel. It seems every third driver at least is on a device while I walk across the street. And another listener writes, I've been suggesting cell phone whistleblower laws to representatives ever since observing horrible and illegal cell phone behavior behind the wheel. I'm a regular bicycle commuter, and there's nothing worse than having a driver behind 3,000 pounds of steel pass me as he or she is on the phone texting. I even had an Emeryville trash hauler pass over the double yellow line, struggling to make a turn with his cell phone in his ear. I even observed a driver doing 70 miles an hour on a 238 in Hayward at dusk, driving with her cell phone on her face with a baby in the back seat. The penalties for illegal cell phone use need to go way up with points on one's license. And Bob writes, yeah, I've done a bit of this myself, and I'm in my 50s, and every time I do it, I get so distracted as to scare myself, and I swear I won't do it again. I want my self-driving car. Sarah writes, did the survey distinguish using device while in motion versus stopped? Are people reading email while stopped at a red light or even while moving? I realize both are dangerous, so it seems a little less serious while stationary. Can you help us out there, Chris Mullen?
Yes, in regards to separating, no, we did not. And some of the points made earlier touch on the fact that if you're not looking at the road, you're not going to see something. So even though the vehicle may be stopped, there is still a multitude of traffic demands coming at you where you may need to react. So I would say for the times that you're stopped, that perception of them being somewhat less dangerous or less risky may be a misperception to a degree. That person needs to be completely engaged in driving.
Okay.
That person needs to be involved.
We'll hear from more of you, our listeners, on this when we return. We have a brief break, and then we'll be back with you. You're listening a forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about the fact that more drivers are surfing behind the wheel while driving. And with us, Chris Mullen from State Farm, Director of Technology Research and lead researcher on their distracted driving survey. David Strayer, who's professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Utah, who leads a distracted driving lab. And Daniel Hill here with us in studio, public information officer with the California Highway Patrol. And I tell you, Officer Hill, a lot of people are saying, how come the Highway Patrol is allowed to text and surf while they're driving in their cars?
Well, the Highway Patrol and other police agencies are permitted to use their cell phone without a hands-free device for the sheer fact that there's a lot of electronics in the vehicle, and it would interfere with some of those things. It's difficult to have those on hand. And the reason we can do that is because of the fact that our radio systems sometimes are not to their peak. And in order to communicate with our supervisors or dispatch, We would need to do that. That's the only exemption that there is. If you see a highway patrolman or another policeman
texting. See a guy in a black and white doing texting or, I mean, doing emailing and surfing the web, report him, her?
They're not supposed to be doing that. The only exemption they have is to be able to use their mobile digital computer inside of the vehicle, the fixed computer there. Otherwise, they shouldn't be texting and driving. It's against the law like everybody else.
And Professor Strayer, what about the idea of points? Certainly a lot of people advocate that. I can't get Officer Hill on record of that because he can't say, but you can. Giving points would seem to make a big deal of difference, to me at least.
You know, I think that this is a real tough problem because it's, you know, we're multitasking in all contexts, and the driving is just one of them. But we need to basically educate to make sure that people are aware of the problem. We need to have laws that actually target things properly. We need to basically, when we have those laws, have them make sure that they're enforced. Some kind of a points-based system may be part of the solution. And ultimately, we need to get groups like Focus Driven to also be part of the problem so that or part of the solution, so that together we basically realize that this is an activity, these behaviors where you're not paying attention to driving, you're just entertaining yourself, but at the expense of others, we basically try and get rid of those kinds of behaviors.
Yeah, I got to ask you, though, too. I mean, what about the technology companies? They're making access easier all the time for drivers. Where's the moral imperative where they're concerned?
You know, I think actually we still need some good guidance, maybe from federal regulations or maybe just the consumer themselves who just says that they're not going to purchase a vehicle if it has all the electronic devices in it. If you look at modern cars, I mean, they're just crammed full of electronic displays and all kinds of features that your phone pairs with it, just as you heard with the State Farm survey, so that now if you're carrying a smartphone and it pairs with your car, many of those features that your phone would provide, now you can do while you're driving. And many of those things just are not safe and not reasonable to be done while you're a driver. Whether the car is in motion or not, I completely think that Chris Mullins of State Farm is right, that don't just assume that because a car stopped at a stop sign that it's necessarily safe. There's all kinds of things that you should pay attention to when you're behind the wheel. You may not notice a pedestrian that's getting ready to cross and things like that. There's all kinds of things that you're responsible for when you're driving. And if you're entertaining yourself or surfing the Internet or sending a voice text or sending a text message, all those kinds of things, you're just not a safe driver.
Yeah, one of my daughter's friends got a ticket while texting at a red light, and she was not in motion. And she said, "This isn't fair. I wasn't driving." And highway patrolman, cop, whatever, you know, said, "But you're texting and you're in the car." And I think actually there's been a legal precedent for this. You can be stopped at a red light and it doesn't matter, right? Am I right on that, Officer Mullen? Yeah.
The deal with driving, the term driving is defined in the vehicle code as being in physical control of the vehicle. And so unless the vehicle is stationary parked, as in not on or not engaged, if you're at a red light, you're still driving the car even if you're stationary. And as was mentioned earlier, that is dangerous to be doing that because you can't necessarily see what's going on around you when you have your head down. Pedestrians, other vehicles, people that might violate your right of way. For example, you may not see the person that's running the red light in front of you as you're getting your green. You see the green, you start going. But had you been not texting, you may have seen the person speeding up to the intersection.
All right, let's bring our callers in. And our first caller is you, Philip. Good morning. You're on forum.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having this particular subject. I was 10 years old and hit by a drunk driver. I was on a bicycle. I had minor injuries, but it indelibly changed my perception of safety on bicycles and the pleasure of it. I'm now 63, and I'm a cyclist in the Bay Area. And I have been pretty terrified of this progression with especially youthful and now elder drivers texting and distracted driving, especially with the research that's come out that it's equal to being drunk. And so what I propose is that people are making a choice to drive with the equivalency of being drunk. Now, someone who is an alcoholic, often they have a disease process. So in some respects, I give more leeway to an alcoholic who is driving drunk. But if you've got somebody who is making a conscious decision to text and drive, they are someone that is, I think the law should be such that drunk driving and texting should be exactly the same thing, because in all fairness, it should be worse for
you,
texting.
You want to throw texters into a tank too? I'm not trying to be facetious in this. I mean, what can you do to make it really parallel or comparable like you're suggesting?
Change it. I hear this discussion even from the insurance company of fines. You know, the only thing that's really going to change it, the thing that has changed drunk driving the most, is the fact that your license can be taken away, and it can easily become a manslaughter type of
no, you're right. It is an enforcement problem. I think your point is certainly well taken, and I thank you for that. It also is a lot of education, as we've been saying. I mean, Mothers Against Drunk Driving made a great deal of impact, as I recall, and so did other organizations like that. But let me get some more of your calls. Kurt is joining us next. Kurt, you're on.
Yes, hello, thank you. I have a bit of a solution for you regarding enforcement. We need to pass a law that rewards law-abiding concerned citizens for reporting illegal phone use, which is make the penalty steep, starting at $300, and give the whistleblower a third of the fines, or $100, whichever is more. Make repeat penalties grow exponentially for drivers who continue to endanger others, and unpaid fines result in the boot to render the scofflaw's vehicle useless. Just have other non-driving road users take a quick picture of a driver breaking the law and the vehicle license plate, send it to the DMV, and you get $100. And if you're caught driving and taking a picture of another driver, that fine's doubled. This will help prevent the unintended consequences of people causing accidents while taking pictures of other drivers. Again, we don't want that to happen. We could also utilize GoPro-style video recorders so drivers and bicyclists can record violations completely hands-free. If red light violation cameras can pass legal muster, this idea can too. We know we don't have nearly the number of police to effectively enforce cell phone laws, so let's let the public help out. Pretty simple. The public gets rewarded for reporting scofflaws, and we get safer roads. So that is my proposal.
All right. We thank you for that proposal. Appreciate hearing from you. And let me go right on to another caller. Robert joins us from Sacramento. Robert, you're on.
Good morning. So I'd like a little clarification from the CHP spokesman. Is it illegal for law enforcement officers, or is it accepted? Because you gave two answers there, and quite frankly, if no one can be a super user per your assertion, then how is it that law enforcement can be exempted with a wave of their hand? And I think that the Bluetooth technology and the current law enforcement radio technology are completely compatible. It just flies in the face of all logic.
Officer Hill.
Well, like I said, sometimes our radios don't work as well as we'd like them to. In that respect, we need to have the ability to communicate with dispatch and with our supervisors in emergency situations. So for that reason, the hands-free cell phone law is the one that we have an exception to. However, there is no exception for the texting and emailing and whatnot there. The only exception for using any sort of mobile data in the vehicle would be that mobile data terminal. Now, I can say that the Highway Patrol in particular has the policy of not permitting cell phone use except using a hands-free device. So a speakerphone or something like that is the more acceptable practice. That being said, with our law enforcement vehicles as they are, especially in our situation with our vehicles approaching 100,000, 200,000 miles, they are not as quiet as they used to be, so those technologies are not working out as well for us as they used to. That being said, we are supposed to be the model of the situation. And so if you do see a highway patrolman talking on a cell phone, it's not the right thing to do. And I'm not telling you that it's perfectly legal. It's the same violation that somebody else would be doing when they're driving and talking on their cell phone in their personal vehicle.
And Robert, thank you for that call. I want to go to another caller who's joining us from Connecticut. Karen, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I'd just like to make the point that I think manual transmissions are the way to go. And I say that very smugly because I drive an old manual transmission car and I can't be distracted. I have to actually drive the car and pay attention to what's going on. And I can always tell when somebody in front of me is, you know, on their phone or distracted somehow by they're going a little too slow or swerving or whatever they've got going on. But I just think everybody ought to learn how to drive one to begin with, and I just think it's a safer way to drive. You have to pay attention more.
Okay, and I thank you for that call. Also, I want to mention here, Werner Herzog, the famous German filmmaker, made a PSA film called From One Second to the Next, and it's all about the problem of distracted driving. I would recommend strongly, because I think it's on YouTube, seeing this film and particularly showing it to young people. A lot of these kids are really, I think it's safe to say, isn't it, David Strayer, addicted to using devices to such a great degree? I mean, you see them all the time. I'm sometimes thinking it's changing the neural pathways in their heads, but, you know, looking at their devices. And so they get in the car and, you know, they're used to using the devices in an almost an addictive way.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the kinds of technology that we're using, and especially teens, it's a social way of communicating. So your phone rings, and not only is it kind of stimulating, but it's rewarding the social circuits as well. So it's very difficult, and you see lots of times where that's the preferred mode for teens to communicate. They may be sitting at a, you know, not necessarily even driving, but just sitting at a table texting back and forth rather than actually talking face-to-face. So when you put that kind of technology that is alluring and potentially addicting in some situations in the car, it's a real recipe for disaster because, hey, the phone just rang. That could be something really interesting. That's got to be far more interesting than whatever I'm doing as I'm driving down the road. So, yeah, it is a real concern because the technology, not just for teens, to be honest, we're all going to be guilty of this sooner or later because, as you see with the State Farm surveys, what happens is teens are oftentimes the first adopters of this technology, but pretty soon it kind of it spreads to the rest of us.
Well, I'm looking at an email from a listener named Tomorrow. It says, got to work just now and had to send this email because as the CHP officer was talking about seeing people talking on handheld devices, I look over and a guy is chatting away on his cell phone, clearly distracted. Wish there was something we could do in those circumstances. Well, Officer Mullen, we had that caller who said maybe you should take a photograph. And he had a whole plan, in fact, that he presented to us about changing policy. But what can, you know, ordinary citizens do if they see somebody driving and distracted? They can report them just like they could if they were driving under the influence of alcohol, can't they?
They can, but unfortunately, the way that the law works is that particular violation is an infraction. And an infraction is something that we cannot take action upon unless we see it ourselves. With drunk driving and so forth, those are misdemeanors that we can have be reported and not have it be in our presence for us to take enforcement action. However, for things like carpool violations, handheld devices, things of that nature, we can't take any enforcement action on the statement of somebody else, unfortunately. That's just the way that the law is. It works. You can report one, but unfortunately, the likelihood that an officer would be in the vicinity to be able to take enforcement action, to be able to witness that violation himself, him or herself, and then take the action, it's slim to none. And like the other person said, we don't have enough officers to do that particular thing. It's up to the public to educate each other that this is not the thing to do. Education has got to be the larger component because enforcement can only go so far.
Well, we've done some amazing things with shaming people not to smoke in public places and all sorts of things along those lines. One can be hopeful about this. More listeners weighed in on Facebook. Daniel writes, excuse me, electronic devices should be kept out of the driver's reach while driving. You're not allowed to have an open container of alcohol in the passenger compartment. Why do we allow tablet computers and smartphones in the same area? It would be nice to see the legislature take on this. And Catherine writes, this is a cultural issue as well. In both my work and my personal life, there is an expectation of a speedy reply to texts. I'd like to see companies add a car feature like the sleep feature. It can also... it can auto-reply that you are driving and will respond later. Change the culture. Holly says, people's eyes are always down while driving. People do not realize that driving is an act that takes full attention. To wit, I was driving with my 20-year-old cousin who started using her phone while driving my daughter and me. I told her to put it away right away. She said that she gets bored while driving. And another listener says, I often use Siri to dictate either a text or an email while I'm driving, mostly while stopped at a light. Are you separating out messages that are dictated versus typed? I don't endorse ever typing while driving, but if you're not separating these, I think you're overstating the danger. Chris Mullen?
So, you know, as many of the panelists have commented thus far, driving takes your full attention. So we did not separate out whether you're stopped or whether you're moving, but we did separate out different functions. And what we're doing with this, in reference to some of the interventions that were referenced earlier, it does take a multi-pronged approach. The reason we've done this for the last 5 years is we want to keep awareness up. We want people to understand what's being done out there. And I appreciate the fervor with which your callers are putting their energy behind this. This does need to be a combination combination of legislation and enforcement, education and awareness, and technology, and all of those have a role to play. We need to change what is considered socially or culturally acceptable. We do need to change what we are doing in the car and how we train our folks to drive in the car. Start with your teens early, and we've done that with some of the programs we offer on teendriving.statefarm.com. We need folks to be as engaged as possible.
And Jim writes, Officer Mullen, let me go to you on this. Can the police seize and search a cell phone if the driver was involved in an accident?
At this time, no. The Fourth Amendment prohibits something like that. We can ask the person if they wish to show us their cell phone record to prove that they were or were not on the cell phone. But unfortunately, that's protected by your constitutional rights.
It's all voluntary.
Exactly. So if the person decides not to, we can't do anything about that.
And we have actually a cut from that Werner Herzog film that PSA film that Werner Herzog made that I referenced. Let's hear it.
I don't remember anything about the accident.
She had her life planned. She was always planning everything. Now she can't plan anything because she can't remember anything.
Texting. Was the text that important?
I don't remember what I was texting. I don't remember what the message said. That's how important it was.
You know, I can text message. I can drive. It's no big deal, you know. You know, I thought that up until the accident.
His legs are gone. X is paralyzed from the diaphragm down.
Debbie was very, very active. She loved work. She helped me with my children. She was always there for me. And it's like, I don't have that anymore.
The worst thing that I can't say to X, which I used to be able to say all the time, go in the yard and play. I can't say that anymore.
I want people to look at me and look at what I did and what I caused and say, I don't want to be that guy.
Well, there's some of the heartbreak. Werner Herzog did an amazing job, and we've put that film actually on our website, so you can go to our website, kqed.org, and see it for yourself. Let me go to our callers. Back to more calls. Jay, hi, you're on.
Hi, thank you. A little over a year ago, I had my wake-up call, my epiphany on this topic, when a couple of things happened. One, I had a bit of a close call on the road that was, frankly, my fault, and it got my attention. Also, I became a grandfather. I made an exception to my, I don't call from the car anymore at all, and I made an exception right now to talk to you guys, because I think this is a big deal, and I'm glad you're talking about it. The point I wanted to make is this. I've had conversations with friends of mine who make a living in their car, realtors, those kinds of folks. I don't do that. And I've had them try to make the case to me that it's no different than listening to the radio or those kinds of things. And I disagree with that, my own experience, for this reason. If I'm listening to the radio, I am still mentally present in the vehicle. I can feel it. If I'm talking on the phone, like I am to you right now, I am not 100% present in the vehicle. I'm engaged mentally with someone who's not here with me. So it's different than if you were sitting next to me in the car. It is very different. You mentally leave the vehicle. You're not present when you're texting or talking to someone who isn't in the car with you. So I'm pretty much trying to go old school and not do this anymore, but I made an exception to call you right now.
I'm glad you called, and I thank you for that, Jay. Good to hear from you. And let me read some more emails that we're getting. Boris writes, almost all smartphones have accelerometers in them. Manufacturers like Apple and Samsung should include a car mode, which limits function when the phone is traveling faster than 5 miles per hour. I'm also curious what the Highway Patrol representative thinks about apps like Waze, that's W-A-Z-E, which allow users to report accidents and Highway Patrol presence while they're driving.
Well, we don't advocate any application that does allow you to do that while you're in motion. We understand that these applications are out there trying to help people figure out where these incidents are. We stand by the fact that any sort of distraction is not safe, and if you demonstrate your distraction from driving, you can be cited for either the cell phone violation or one other feature of the California law right now is that if you are traveling at a speed that's unsafe for conditions, or you're doing something that makes the speed you're traveling unsafe, you can be cited for that speed. So, for example, a person who is following the law, using their Bluetooth device, but driving as if they were a drunk driver because they're distracted by their cell phone, could, in fact, be cited for speed for whatever speed they're going, because the safe speed to do what they're doing is zero.
Here's a listener named Owen who says, I'm a veteran motorcycle rider on two wheels for half a century. I have done thousands of laps on California tracks, so I consider myself pretty highly skilled. But a few months ago, I was going south on a highway in Sonoma. I saw something on the side of the road and looked away for maybe 2 seconds. When I got my eyes back on the road, the car in front of me had come to a sudden and complete stop. The result was a very unhappy, painful, and expensive end to a nice ride. And the point is that even a distraction of a second or two can invite disaster. Texting or reading smartphones while driving is true insanity. Let me get another caller on here, and that's you, Daniel. Hi.
Hi. I'd just like to second the comment by other people about technology helping us curb some of this problem. I think that, you know, I have a new car that when I'm navigating, you know, using the GPS, as soon as the car detects I'm moving, you know, more than I think, you know, a couple miles an hour, it enables a safety feature, so it locks me out. And just using that over a few months has made me change my behavior. So I think, you know, phones can probably, when they pair with your car, they can actually do the same thing. You know, detect, hey, I'm in a car, it's moving, let's lock the user out. And I think that we should reward technology and automakers for implementing these kind of features.
Well, thank you for that, Daniel. In fact, accelerometer is the right pronunciation. I didn't want to botch that again. Danny, thank you for the correct. Never heard it pronounced. But here's a tweet right along the line of that last caller. Casey tweets, how about tech solutions, devices, cars automatically disabled? That could be done and mandated by law. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Chris Mullen?
Well, I'd say first with the survey results we had in this particular survey, we did ask, do you agree with a measure that would prohibit people from text messaging or emailing while driving? And 91% agree, 74% strongly. So our folks do agree that there could be measures put in place that prohibit the activities. I think there are a number of things that can be done to change this behavior. And I like your previous caller, I believe it was Daniel, that referenced the changing of behavior and Jay referencing becoming a grandfather. These are people that need to model these behavior changes. You have these teenagers that are watching what you do, and they're trying to see what's an acceptable activity while you drive. They've been watching you since they could see over the seat behind you, let alone when they get up front and they're trying to learn. So we need these behaviors to change across the board, whether there's a mandate or not.
And we go to another caller, and that's Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm having a problem with dividing out when I pick up a map on the in my passenger seat. I'm by myself. Excuse me. I'm by myself, and I'm trying to read a note that I've made to figure out directions to get to my friend's house. And I'm at a stoplight, and I get distracted by doing that. Can I do that on my cell phone? Can I pick up my cell phone and look at the note that I made it in my notes section? You know, how do you differentiate between that?
Well, I think that's a good question. In fact, I'm looking at an email here about using map functions. Can that be equally impairing? And is it legal to use a map function while driving? Let me go first to the impairment side. David Strayer?
Well, I mean, you've heard already that if you take your eyes off the road for more than 2.5 seconds, you're going to start to have problems maintaining control of the vehicle. And if you're looking at a map for more than 2.5 seconds, or if you're looking at a text message for that period of time, in both cases, you're going to be impaired. You know, the GPS functions, if you basically enable them before you start driving and you're just listening to the turn-by-turn kinds of directions without looking at the device to kind of figure out where it's telling you to go, then that tends to be actually a safe way of kind of navigating. But program it before you drive and don't be looking at it, and you'll probably have a lot safer drive and you won't have the problems with the eyes off the road.
Well, there's no problem with legality here, Daniel Hill. I mean, using GPSs or map functions.
With respect to the law, there's only three things that are not allowed by law. Using your cell phone without a hands-free mode, texting or receiving electronic communications, such as email, texting, and even surfing the internet. Those are specifically banned. And then any sort of action that causes you to be distracted to the point where it impairs your driving. The GPS function is explicitly not limited. However, if using that function causes you to be distracted in such a way that an officer can notice that, that can then be a violation.
Daniel Hill, again, is public information officer for the CHP. And Tim is our next caller. Tim, join us. Hi.
Yes, I just wanted to talk about the the issue of how we train student drivers, because I'm a pilot, and you spend a great deal of time in pilot training thinking about crew distractions and simulating the effects of all the multitasking that you have to do. And one of the things you learn from that is you learn how easily you can be distracted and what the impact of that is. And you know, I feel there's something that could be learned from that kind of training. If it was applied to student drivers, I think if people really realize the degree to which they can become distracted, that it would make a significant difference.
Okay, and I thank you for that. Let me get another caller on here quickly. That's you, Jeff. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, we just moved from Spain, so we've been overseas for 3 years and just recently relocated to the San Francisco area. And I currently commute across the Golden Gate Bridge every day with my son. And one of the first things, I wasn't even looking for it, but one of the first things that stood out to me was the quantity of people that I see texting. It's ridiculous. And the solution is simple, stupid. This is something that is so pertinent, and I'm so thankful that that you're talking about it today. It should be a law enforcement issue, and there should be legislation right now that makes it ridiculously, against the law.
Get the image. Thank you, Jeff, for those strong sentiments. A good way to conclude here, because it's clear that people want action and they want more enforcement and they want to do something about it. But, of course, all of you who are driving need to do something about it, or those with whom you drive. I want to thank David Strayer for being with us from the University of Utah, and Chris Mullen from State Farm, and Daniel Hill from the California Highway Patrol. We also spoke to Rob Reynolds of Focus Driven. And thank you for being part of this morning's program. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. And Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi and Tina Larberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer, Amanda Stupai, with online support from Chad McClymans. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. Another hour ahead. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.